Welcome back to Ladies with Gumption. This is episode 171, Reverse Flashpoint. We are the Ladies with Gumption, or the Gumption with Ladies, I guess if it's in reverse. We recap DC TV in a flash. I am Jessica, and I'm here with...
May.
And Tatiana.
And you can find us on Twitter at DCTVGumption. You can send us your feedback at ladieswithgumption@gmail.com. Or you can send us ask on Tumblr, ladieswithgumption.tumblr.com. As always, you can find our podcasts wherever you like to listen to them, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, which apparently no one listens to Google Play, on the Podomatic site.
We are not surprised.
No. Spotify, Stitcher, and I think Amazon, right? And, or if you would like to get some episodes sooner and extra stuff, you can also visit us on Patreon and become a patron. It's only $10 a month, and we talk about everything. You get these episodes, the regular episodes, 24 hours in advance, and then you also get additional, like, premium content, basically the MCU verse. We've done, like, Loki, we've done Falcon and the Winter Soldier, all of those, WandaVision, all of those shows that came out on Disney. HBO Max premium shows, we do Doom Patrol, Titans, Peacemaker when it comes out in January. Popular Netflix series, we've done You before, we've done The Witcher, which drops next week, the new season. And Amazon, just anything that within the wide world of, you know, pop culture, entertainment, we most likely will cover it. Recently, the most recent ones we did, we wrapped up Doom Patrol season 3. We did parts 1 and 2. And then the next week, we're going to do The Eternals. So if you have caught up on that movie, we will meet you over on Patreon next week to discuss that. In the news this week, we had Peacemaker trailer premiered. And like the premiere date for that show is going to be on January the 13th. Did any of you get a chance to look at the trailer yet, or...
No, I did not know it came out until you said it just now.
I think I saw stuff before. I did not see the latest trailer, but yeah, I have seen like a couple of things from like the tone.
From the DC fandom.
Right. That's the last thing I saw. Which, you know, it definitely looks more fun, I guess, than I expected it to be. Although I guess I should have known it's going to be, you know, fun. But...
I guess I'm like interested to see it just because from the Suicide Squad movie, I was not really interested in Peacemaker before the movie, and now I'm interested in Peacemaker. So I hope that the show continues to build on the movie and his like personality and everything like that. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure. Well, I do know that Batgirl, that movie started filming in London because Leslie Grace, was she in Scotland? I think she was in Scotland. That's what they're filming over there. And so, that is underway.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We love that.
And that is about it. This is slow. Well, actually, I guess we could say, like, Candace Patton, she went to the People's Choice Awards because the show was nominated. And then she also attended, like, a Women in Power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So she's getting nice out there. And I was so mad that she decided to grace us with her presence in the middle of the flash. I can't concentrate. I can't do two things at once, Candace. I was kidding.
Right. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. But very, very good for her. So basically, this is all flash all the time. We are going to talk about part 4 of Armageddon. We're going to give our joy, no joy feedback and crown a Lady with Gumption of the episode. Tati is going to walk us through Reverse Flashpoint and tell us what the hell happened. Who's faster, Tati? Who's faster now?
Am I going to do that? Well, as we know from last week, we left off on Barry learning that in a new and weird version of 2031, his woman is marrying his mortal enemy. And it was very uncomfortable to witness. But beyond that, it's not just that Iris is getting married to Thawne. It's that Iris hates Barry. And Thawne is the Flash, while Barry is apparently the Reverse Flash. There is a plot hole here that I will bring up later, but I will not bring it up now because it will take too long. So, also for some reason, Alex, the Sentinel, is part of Team Flash. I'm not really sure what's going on there. But Ryan is Iris's bestie and visiting from Gotham. Thank you, Ryan. We love that. So after having been engaged to, in love with, who knows wedding with Thawne for 18 years, Iris is finally marrying him, which is probably a red flag in and of itself. Probably should have been like, wait a second, if I didn't want to get married 10 years ago, maybe I didn't want to get married at all. But she also feels like maybe something is wrong because Barry keeps being like, I'm your lightning rod. You're my lightning rod. And Iris is like, that feels kind of good. I like that. I don't like it when Thawne says it. What's going on there? And Barry must convince Iris that they are in love in order to boost his speed, because you know how that works, in order to create but also stop Armageddon, to be able to get back to his own time, unkill Joe, etc., etc., etc. And to do this, he enlists the help of none other than our best friend Damian Dark, who may not have killed Laurel in this version, we don't know, but definitely did kill Rey and Sisko. However, that's okay, because he still loves his daughter, Nora. And that is what the Flash relies on to get Damian to actually help him beyond just trying to kill Thawne, actually trying to save the world in order to get back to the original timeline where his daughter, Nora, is alive and well, and he is dead. We love evil, good fathers. In other news, Alex got married, and then she just decided she wanted to get everyone to get married. So she's like, hey, Chester and Allegra, I see that you guys are not together, and I feel like you should be together. Hey, other Ryan, Choi, I see that you don't have that woman whose name I can't remember, and I think that you should have a woman. So you should believe in love. Everyone believe in love, because my wife helps me believe in love every day. And this is, for some reason, a very big part of the story. Chester and Allegra make out for the first time on screen, but not for the first time in their hearts. And we're very happy for them, but who knows what's going to happen in the normal timeline. I'm trying to remember what else happened. Frost is with that horrible Chilblain, and they get knocked on their asses.
Chilblain.
They try to fight Damian Dark, don't seem to use any ice powers, and then fall flat on their asses, obviously. So in the end,
a regular day
in exactly. the cold world. Barry gets away with everything. He gets back in time. He sees that Iris is still, you know, his wife. And also that Joe is alive. Happy, happy, joy, joy. And then Despero again is like, okay, I believe you this time. I'm going to go check the timeline. But if I see anything wrong, I'm coming back and beating
He's
your
so
ass.
He's so accommodating. Again. He's like, okay. I'm going to go check. Fool me once, Flash.
He's like a teacher who, like, gives their student, like, three times. They're like, if you strike out three times, you're going
to
get...
Or, like, a parent, like, telling their kid to come, like, I'm count to five.
Exactly.
And you're going to go to the corner because you did a very bad thing.
Exactly. So, it's really nice to see that for him. And then the episode ends with our Thawne back in this time, ready for vengeance, because Barry just stole back the life that Thawne stole from him, and Thawne is not going to take it anymore. All right, so what? Exactly, it's so wrong. Lauren Barnett wrote the episode, I think, and the worst dad on Pretty Little Liars directed it.
Who was the worst dad on Pretty
Little Liars? I can't remember his name. But you know, y'all know who I mean.
Well,
y'all
he clearly left an impression.
Chad Lowe, isn't that his name?
Okay.
Arya's dad. Okay. What sparked joy?
The entire episode? I don't know. I just think that this was one of my favorite episodes of The Flash in a very long time. It had all the great things that make the show good. It had time travel, it had love, it had great character dynamics, it had fun character dynamics. Damian Dark outsold. He is so much fun, and I thought that his team up with Barry was really great. And even like his little pep talks is like, love, you idiot, what do you not understand?
How are you a hero and it's dumb?
I mean, no, but I think that like the way that Barry played it to be like, oh yeah, you think I'm the villain, okay, so I'm gonna be the villain for like 5 minutes, and then I like that Thawne figured out that he was not indeed the villain because he refused to kill his team. So he's like, wait a second, this is off. You need to tell me what's going on. And then he flips it so that it's like, well, I love love you love love because you love your daughter. So you two will help me and we will get that timeline back because Nora is alive. And so I like that he played it that way. He, you know, got to the heart of who Damien was and the fact that he sacrificed his daughter. And Damien's like, you're telling the truth. I will play along. So I like that whole dynamic. Like, it was unexpectedly fun. And I just love, like, everything with also Barry and Thawne because, you know, mortal enemies and whatnot. And the whole, like, first of all, Tom's performance as Thawne did not grate on my nerves. He didn't use the gravely the voice or whatever. Voice. Yeah, so annoying. So he did not do that, which is great. And then he's like, you know, I stole all this from, he's like, it is not, I just killed, like, Joe, I reversed everything. I made you die. I took Iris. I will, like, I'm the winner now. And it's just like,
C-Force is mine.
It was just amazing. And so I like that little explanation, which explains why Despero's like, wait a second, this is not right. And also the fact that him using Barry's face to do all of these crimes, but Barry not even being alive and kind of like, again, reflecting OG Flashpoint from season 3, in which, like, I think it took almost 3 months for the timeline to set for Barry. And, you know, it was in this case as well, except I guess it took longer, but maybe he was changing certain things because of the negative still force or whatever. It's a little bit confusing, but it still made some sense. So I liked all of that. And I just loved how petty Thawne was. And, you know, even the standoff between, like, him, Barry, and Iris, he's just like, better yet, kill him. And Iris shoots his ass. Love that. I love how, like, overconfident he was, but so then he got his ass handed to him regardless. speaking of that stand down, the showdown, I loved, like, Iris's moments with Ryan. I love how, like, the scene, the episode opens with them conversing about her being her maid of honor and giving her advice about, you know, the Wild Moor baby, which has not yet come, but my heart was so pleased. And just, like, they felt like they've been friends forever, and clearly they have in this timeline, and it just gives me hope that we could maybe see that at some point in the present day as well. But I just really love their friendship. I love that Ryan returned the favor when they had a chat about Iris not really feeling as confident in her love for Eobard. Every time somebody called me Eobard, I was like, oh my god, this is just so painful. But also, I love that,
like, the Captain EO was good.
But I also love that everybody was calling, like, Barry Allen the way that they call Thawne, you know? So that was really fun too. But I just did love the Ryan Iris scene in the second one too, and just them being really close friends. And, you know, Ryan's just like, I will take you out of the city. I have a fast car. It's beautiful. I love it. And also, like, the fight between the first fight between it was Barry, Alex, and Ryan and Alex teaming up. That was beautiful. I think that, you know, Barry never stood a chance, really. And so that was, like, really fun. I just love how everybody treated Barry the entire episode like he was truly the worst thing that could ever happen to them. And, of course, I loved the West Island moments because they were, you know, I felt like it was back. We had that spark again a little bit. It's been a while since we've had some of that. And it was great all around, from Barry, of course, trying to convince Iris that, you know, he was the one for her. And Iris not immediately, like, seeing him and thinking, maybe he's right. I don't even know this guy, but he used lightning rod, so I will try to figure out what's wrong. Or maybe because she already knew that something was wrong, which is why she waited so long to marry Thawne.
Right.
So all of that was really great. And I loved his little speed hug. That was the cutest thing ever. I saw this episode twice, and it still holds up in general. Just all of the stuff that was going on, and just the urgency of it all, because Barry was also blipping out of the timeline like Marty McFly in Back to the Future, was really great too. So yeah, I think it was like a solid episode, and such great character stuff for everybody. I know this is not a popular opinion, but I sort of enjoy the Allegra Chester stuff too, especially like the back and forth between Alex. It's like, you, Chester, why didn't you call her back? He's like, whoa, what's happening here? So I like that everybody sort of got their little love stuff in general, but like the anchor was of the episode was West Allen's love.
Yeah, I like I've been waiting for this moment since like season one. This whole like storyline between like Eobard, Iris, and Barry to kind of like play out. And I think Tom has been waiting just as long, because he just like hammed it up and was spectacular in general as Eobard. I just loved him being petty just for, you know, the sake of being petty and just like really like grinding it into Gary that to Gary, to Barry that, that he has stolen like everything that means anything to Barry. I even I didn't notice this because I was like too busy trying to keep up with like live tweeting. But when I went back and rewatched, he even like inserted himself into the show's intro and replaced all the images of Barry with himself, you know, like the whole confrontation with Barry. And he's like, what is happening? And Eobard's like, you're not the Flash, Alan. I am. I'm like, ha, all of you like whiny, like pissed baby fanboys is like complaining about We Are the Flash. Eobard said, I see you and I raise you. Now go cry some more. And I loved it. I like that, you know, the whole, when he's like telling Barry all the stuff that he did, you know, about how he, like his grandmaster plan, that how Iris is my lightning rod now, Barry. Speed Force chose me, not you. And just like all this kind of stuff. It was great. Tom Cavanaugh is the captain of my crack ship and he delivered. So that was great. I think like also because he also did some more interviews that came out after the episode aired, and he was talking about, you know, the evolution of Eobard, Iris, and like all the Wells. And he confirmed that he did put it into his character that every iteration of Wells had a crush on Iris. So I was like, see, I was not seeing things. I was not making it up. It was there. And I think it really started with HR, because yeah. HR is like pretty blatant about it. But you know, every like one after that, there's always like some little
Sherlock was a little bit
Sherlock
too.
Was, yeah.
Yeah. He was like pissed off that like Nora came with them once. Right. He's like, ah, damn it.
And then of course the Nash Wells or whoever. Also, there was that, like, when they first met, there was, like, that little something
it's
there.
It's you. It's like, what?
Yeah. So all of that was great. The actual opening scene, you know, with Iris and Ryan talking about, you know, the relationships. I didn't even know, like, I was slow on picking up that Ryan was wearing a ring in the previous episode. And so I was like, well, you know, they probably could play it safe and just be, like, my wife or just be, like, really vague about it. But she's like, me and Sophie, and then having a baby. I'm like, whoa. So it was like all of this like information. And then here comes the seal about how Jenna hates her. We stand you, Jenna. And then like, you know, Allegra's talking about like her moving. I'm like, this is a lot of like life events happening very quickly for me. But I like the vibe about it. Even like the music that they had playing, that it was like really cool energy. And I just, Ryan and Alex, like, not Ryan and Alex, but Ryan and Iris, I agree with you. It feels like they have like this friendship and are close to each other, A1, day one kind of friends. Like Iris is giving her advice about following her heart about the baby. And she's like, you remember when I told you this when I was Maid of Honor? And Ryan's like, no, I was getting married. And then like, you know, like you said about the whole, if you want to leave, I promise I will kidnap you and drive you out of there as fast as I can. It's like real kind of friendship type stuff. And I agree with you. I definitely, since they put so much of it in here, I want to see it play out during the season, like in real time. So that was good. And what else? Ryan and Alex, you know, superhero lesbians tag teaming Barry was really great. And there was a lot of like really good one-on-one character dynamics. My favorite by far, of course, is, you know, Ryan and Iris and their friendship being on full display. And then the second one, my second favorite, I think I would have to say, was Barry and Damian, just because it was so unexpected. And I feel like Grant upped his game to play against the McDonough. And I loved that he was smart, because he's like, he's been down and out. He's been punched emotionally and literally several times at this point. But like when he gets over to Damian, he plays it like the smart way, and he's really good at playing bad and appealing to that kind of side of Damian. So I really enjoyed their
Glee Sebastian just popped out.
Exactly. And then like even like Damian, his
rapport with who he thinks Barry is. He's like, when Barry came to see him, he's like, oh, spill the tea. Like, I want to know what you've been up to since I've been gone. So it just kind of felt like really fun between them. And then, you know, when he did get sussed out that Barry isn't who he thinks he is, like you said, he was really, Barry was still smart and coming clean by bringing up Nora being alive in his timeline and him trying to like reset that to kind of get Damien to cooperate. So I really enjoyed their kind of back and forth and, you know, Damien's like tough love and all that kind of stuff. And I like that he was just like super impressed about how bad, like evil Eobard is when he knew the truth. Like, oh, wow, I had to really get along with that guy, you know? And then probably the next one would be Alex and Allegra, and Alex trying to like I really wanted to fit a really lusty quest somewhere in either our episode title or, you know, like this side title, but that just wasn't fitting. But I just thought it was really hilarious that in the middle of her one night stand retelling, Allegra was like, you know, it was in the middle of D&D. I'm like, D&D, come on, girl. She's like, it was a really lusty quest. I'm like, okay. which she said it happened 10 years ago, which means that lusty quest will probably happen this season.
Right, in this season, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be something to look out for. But then, you know, finally, just with the whole, like, West Island being the heart of it, the love story and the fact that, you know, he only got to talk to her really twice, and he got interrupted both times. He's like, no matter what Eobard has taken from me, he can't take my feelings for you. And that kind of being the turning point of her being like, okay, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I can trust you, but I'm gonna let it happen. I'm gonna let it play out because there's too many things that are not adding up between Eobard and you and all this kind of stuff happening. And I thought it was really nice when he's like running in he's like talking to her and she's like responding even though they're not really in the same place, and like the lightning in her eyes, so the speed force is like connecting everything. It's like, you know, reinforcing the all timelines, no matter what, always find each other kind of thing. So that was all epic, and ending in that really cute little speed force or speed hug at the end when he finally is back with her. I thought that was just really cute. So yeah, there's a lot of fun moments in this episode.
I agree. It was a very fun episode. I really enjoyed everything, almost everything having to do with the other timeline. But like you said, I especially loved that Grant had to step up his game, both yeah. with Neil McDonough.
You got guests, Grant. You gotta step it up.
Exactly. And even, you know, getting like the full, almost the full circle of the story with the Reverse Flash that we've been waiting for really since season one. You know, like when the Reverse Flash came into the story in the first place, he's always, in the comics at least, he's always been like that fanboy who like wants to show you how you do it right. So for him to like kill Barry and then spend the rest of his life just taking over Barry's life to shove it in Barry's face when Barry's not even there to witness it is that's the Reverse Flash that I needed. And I'm so glad that we finally got him. I think that is so fabulous. And it was very much reminiscent of like that comic panel where he's like, it was all me, Barry. Like I killed your mom and I opened the door so your dog would run away and like all of this. So I really enjoyed that side of it. Also, you know, I love that Tom and Candace are just like having fun with it behind the scenes. But also it was fun, even though it was weird to witness on the scene.
Super weird. You can't kiss. I was like, oh my God, please don't. Yeah.
It was like really like
I don't even know if they could like physically do it.
Right.
I feel maybe it was like in the script, they're just like, I can't.
No, can't do it. Like, because obviously like Iris is being, you know, taken advantage of or whatever. Like it's not like fun or sexy right. or whatever, right? But it is like just to witness it from like the behind the scenes perspective, and then also just that this has been the story, you know, that we're finally seeing the culmination of in from the comics to the screen was great. Plus, the show is always at its best when West Allen is the propulsion for the plot. And that has not been the case for a while, which is also why the show has not been at its best for a while, aside from many other reasons, such as budget and, you know, pulling storylines out of our asses because we think that it's a good idea. But this just once again shows that the formula works, which is like epic event in which West Allen feelings are at the center. Let's go. It's guaranteed to have a good time. So I'm glad that we got to see that. And that once again, it was proven correct. Math is real. Follow the science. Okay, so aside from that, I obviously loved the Wes Wilder friendship. It was so great to see Ryan and Iris hanging out, having heart-to-hearts. Like, the fact that it's been 8 years, and this is, like, the first time we've really gotten to see, like, a friendship for Iris, where Iris gets to voice her own concerns, even though it was an imaginary timeline. But still, it was nice that Iris has someone who's there to listen to her problems while also giving her own advice and getting confirmation, not that we didn't know at this point, but that Wildmore is, you know, OTP, definitely happening, et cetera, et cetera. I love when Ryan is like, oh, you know, basically, we'll pull a runway bride if we need to, right? If Eobard's not the right one, then I will just get you out of here.
I thought it was cute that she said her car drives really fast, and I was like, oh, that's really cute. But then I just realized, like, but Eobard is also really fast. So
Right. Like, I'm not sure that you're necessarily faster than him, but I appreciate the thought.
Yes, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah, exactly. Aside from that, I really loved this version of Damien. I love, like, first, it was so much fun to see him, like, just, like, the happy-go-lucky bad guy who was, like, the sidekick to Reverse Flash and be like, oh, my buddy's back. Let's go terrorize some people. But then for, like, the flip of the switch when he finds out about Nora and to really see that side of him that we got to know in Legends, right? And, like, not even, like, it's funny because it's not like he's repentant of, like, the things he's done. He doesn't really care about the things he's done. It's just that he wants to make sure that Nora can have the best life. So I thought that was interesting. There's not really a redemption there. It's literally just like, I'm an evil dude who enjoys that, but also I love my daughter. So I will just do this for my daughter. But speaking of, like, being an evil dude, I do love that Eobard's hatred for Barry, like, surpasses everything else, right? Like, he wasn't doing any evil plotting outside of, you know, killing Barry as a child and then desecrating his memory by having him become the Reverse Flash through a series of very elaborate pranks. But aside from that, he was, you know, protecting the world. Like, all of Team Flash were good people. They were still, like, essentially themselves. They were not some, like, warped version that was following the evil plans of Eobard Thawne. They were following what they thought was a hero who has been doing heroic things all this time just so he can be a better hero than Barry, because that's, like, the number one priority in his life. So I love that. That was super fabulous. Chester and Allegra, I'm glad that I'm not crazy. Like, yes, that was, in fact, meant to be sexual tension and not just, like, me putting that, putting everyone in shipping boxes. Because
like the Berlantiverse, is this a ship?
Exactly. So yes, it is. Good job. And I did think that was so funny that they hooked up over D&D. That's just brilliant. That's all I'll say about that. Okay, so glad we got Alex time. Glad we got Ryan time. Looking forward to what Eobard is going to do in the finale. What did not spark joy?
I think the biggest thing for me that sort of didn't make sense, aside from some of the time stuff, but I'll let that pass, is the ending, because it was like a very tense moment. Barry's running back in time, and then like Cecile's in the chair and Despero's interrogating her and he's killed everybody else. But I'm like, but Cecile doesn't know where he is. She's told you that several times. You know who knows where he is? Iris.
You know what? We got an Anon asking about that too. She's like, this doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. Thank you, Anon. It really doesn't. So I was like,
but then I answered that one. And then we got a second Anon. I was like, well, I guess it's because she's an empath, so she would feel all her deaths. So that was how they were like rationalizing it. But yeah.
I guess, but I don't know. I guess because of, like, Iris knew that he ran to the future. And if she said that, then.
And he was there.
2031. Right. He was there. So I don't know. Weird. Allegra and Chester was cute, but I feel like it could have been cut down slightly because it was just like sort of there in the middle of all this other stuff that was happening. But I did still enjoy it. And Ryan Choi, I was really sad about Ryan being so down about love about his life. I guess this timeline erased his child and his wife or something.
Yeah.
Because he's just like a completely different person. And I would have liked more of an explanation about him being the Adam, because I don't really think that they called him the Adam. And we just assumed he was doing whatever he was doing. But if you didn't know he was the Adam in the comics, I wouldn't have picked that up.
Know.
I didn't already know that. So it could have been a different explanation. And like, even with the suit, because it's like comic accurate suit. But I'm like, most people who watch the show do not read the comics. You have to explain certain things, you know, like you explain
like a little line else. That, you know, he's taken over for Ray or, you know, something. Like, Ray died.
He's dead or something like that. And that's how he took over. Like you could have explained that part. So, you know, it's just like little things in a generally good episode.
Yeah. Oh, and the fact that he, like, even though Cisco has already left Team Flash, he escapes. Like, Eobard still manages to find a way to kill him every time. That is like a level of petty that extends. That's the only like level of petty that extends beyond Barry, is Eobard finding a way to kill Cisco. Because that, like, what was the reason? There was no other reason to.
You're
to
like, leave him alone. He's the director of Argus now.
He's the director of Argus. And then they killed the whole Legends, which I thought was funny. Just someone mentioned on Twitter, like, the Legends make one joke about not inviting Barry to the wedding. And the Flash Rider is like, well, I'm just going to kill all y'all. But I guess, like, they would make, killing them off would make more sense in the sense that they're time travelers. So if you get rid of them, there's no one time traveling to, like, figure out who Eobard is and try to fix stuff. So that makes sense. Killing Cisco did not make sense. Other than Eobard just like, you know what, I'm going to kill you. Yeah. And Ryan Choi was really kind of threw me off, just because I just felt like he was so like out of character. Even though we've only seen him once, that one time is drastically different from who he is in this timeline. And I saw like Kyler, she had a interview and said that originally Alex was supposed to be the cynic and down on love. So she was supposed to have Ryan's choice part because Eric was not caught up on Supergirl and did not know that they had the dance and wedding. So she called him up. She's like, you know what? We can't do this because Alex just got married and she's super happy. So can we change that up? And he agreed. So I guess, like, you know, Eric's just like, well, I gotta fuck up somebody's character backstory. So I guess it's Ryan Choi's.
It's weird that I was saying about Caitlin, because she didn't do anything this episode. So I was like,
right. And, like, it would be super believable that she would take another man's opinion over somebody else. Who said that? That was mean. But like, she would have been, like, another option. And they'd, like, bringing up Ronnie anyway. So you could just, you know, be like, I haven't found love in years after my
husband died. Like, and Killer Frost still got with Chilblain. I'm still single. Right?
Exactly. They could have gone that route, but no, they went with, well, I guess because it would have made more sense to have it be Caitlin, because she's down on love. She sees Chester and Allegra and she's like, you know what? I believe in love again. And then we get back to the real timeline and she meets Marcus or whoever she's supposed to meet and be her like love interest. That would have made sense. But no, let's just fuck up Ryan Choi. So, you know. Whatever. And it was just like really weird personality switch from like Mr. Paragon of Humanity to Mr., you know, Bachelor Dude Bro, whatever. And then speaking of Caitlin, like, I feel like if I was her fan, she hasn't really had a plot at all, really, in this crossover. And I'm not really sure.
She wasn't even invited to the party.
No, she's never invited to the party.
Weird.
She's never invited to the West Island engagement party, and she's not invited to the West Island renewal ceremony. But Frost is, and Frost can come with her man. Which them like doing it in the bathroom, which is like, come on, guys. But yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know what to say about that, other than, you know, if I was her fan, but I'm not really, so. But I mean, even if I'm not her fan, like, she needs a plot, and she needs something to do other than just, I don't know,
right, be
decoration.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if I had to guess, it's literally like they just don't know how, like, they can't decide if they should send Frost to something or send Caitlin to something, right? So they're like, right. Well, Frost is doing less this episode, so let's just put her in this scene instead of like spending time doubling or whatever, I guess. But I agree, it doesn't make any sense. It's dumb. And there was no reason to split Frost and Caitlin in the first place because they're not doing anything with that. There's more story with them together. There would have been a perfect reason to split them if you had made Frost into girls. And then you could have an actual story there, but you did not do that. You were like, let's split them and then just have Frost be with essentially who Caitlin would have been if she and Frost were not split, because there is no difference. Super annoying, whatever. Also, like, as much as I actually love, it does bring me joy that Frost falls flat on her ass every single time that she has a battle. It's also very weird and stupid, and I don't get why it happens. It's literally like, what is the purpose of her being a fighter on this team if she cannot fight? I don't know. I don't understand why. That was also very weird. But that aside, oh my god. That scene where Cecile was being tortured, I was like, please stop it. Please.
Oh, that was jarring.
Don't torture Cecile. first off, because, like, why? It was jarring, but also, like, acting-wise. It was like, please, no more of this. I am being tortured by the lengths to which you are making Danielle go. I assume this is a different director than last time. So I'm like, why is no one stepping in being like, actually, less is more sometimes?
This is a person. You're at a 10, I need you at a 2.
Exactly. I don't know, but I would like it to stop. I really do think, like, as much as, like, I'm, like, probably, like, the least... I don't know that people are, like, against Allegra and Chester, but, like, I like them. They're fine. However, why was there so much time spent on Allegra and Chester?
That was true. It was a huge... That plot was, like, big.
Yeah.
Stood for big.
And it was, like, not necessary because, like, I totally get that you're paralleling, right, like, love is all you need and the world is ending and you have to, like, speak your love or whatever. Like, I get that part of it and that's fine. But, like, was it necessary for it to be, like, one scene of, like, what's going on with them? Another scene of, like, oh, is this what happened with them? Another scene, no, this is what happened with them. And then, hey, guys, let's fix it. Like,
this could have been what? It's also the fact that we get, like, the barest of minimums in the present timeline. But even though I could feel it, the vibes, mm-hmm. I did not believe the vibes.
Right.
Plot in the plot. I was like, okay.
Yeah, they took it from 0 to 60.
Yeah.
I will say, like, the only good thing about it was we got a little bit more about Allegra's backstory, like with her parents and whatever.
That part was good.
I was like, oh, has she ever talked about her parents? Because it's only been Esperanza before.
Right.
So.
Right.
And Nash.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that, but, like, even the way that they set it up was just so, like, we hooked up, and then he went to get donuts, and then I came back, and he came back, and I was like, oh, no, can't do this. And I was like, come on.
The Flash Writers, what they really wanted to do is, like, write a rom-com, because this is the plot of Hitch,
basically. Right. Like it would have actually been, whatever, I'm not gonna, like, rewrite the story for them, but, like, the fact that she moved to England or whatever could have been enough of the reason, right? Like, she could have been like, oh, well, I moved, so we broke up, whatever. And then he could be like, I tried to make it work, but she wouldn't, like, she ghosted me when she moved to England. Yeah. And then she'd be like, yeah, because I knew it was going to,
like,
to...
The whole thing happened over, like, a one-night stand. And then she lied about it. Like, you had Alex going off on Chester when you lied.
Exactly. That was, like, so unnecessary. They definitely could have made it, both because, like, I agree, it's just so silly. Like, it's like, that could have been an email that you resolved that in. And then B... Because why are we talking about sex when no one in the show has sex? Like, as soon as you bring up sex, I stop believing you. Because the show, people don't have sex in this show. So, whatever. But aside from that, I don't really think I have any other dislikes because I really love the episode. I thought it was so great. Except that, like, outside of this episode, I really feel like maybe the whole thing should have been Reverse Flash problems. Like, Despero was so unnecessary. Who is Despero? He didn't do anything but come in and be like, I don't like what you did.
He's going to be the banger of bad news.
Yeah.
Who assigned him protector of Earth, I guess, you know?
Right. It's like, well, if you just stayed 15 minutes longer, Despero, maybe you would have seen that that's not what happened. Like,
yeah, that's true.
So that part was silly. And I lied. There's, like, one more thing, but I'm torn between it being, like, a joy in that was so funny and it being a not joy, but, like, Barry calls and we don't even get Joe's voice on the other end of the line. Just like, oh, thank God. So good to hear your voice.
Because it could have been like a parallel to like Earth 2 when he like calls, yeah. like when it's called his mother.
Yeah.
What I was thinking but about,
they were
but you're
like,
right.
They were like, no, sorry, Jesse. You
or
don't
Jesse's
get
to like, you know what? I have 30 minutes left on my vacation time. I'm going to take this.
Exactly. I'm not punching in yet. I'm not recording until next week. So they just.
I hope this means that he's getting like some more screen time, like some storyline with Kramer later or something.
Oh,
because
God. I am begging. I am begging because I do not need Cecile to be his stand in any longer. Mm-hmm. I need that to stop. I need it to stop. Okay. So anyway, aside from that, do we have any feedback?
Let me look. Yes, we do. So we have Anita, and Anita says, weeks ago, I should have known something was off about this reality when Iris said she was relieved Barry brought home a pizza because she was too tired to cook. Season 4 icon that Iris can't cook continues. But some things were still off for me in the episode. Thawne said he succeeded in killing Barry as a child. If my math is right, that would mean Barry was killed in 1999. How did it take 22 years to solidify a reverse flashpoint? Shouldn't Barry reverse flash not exist at all by 2031? And actually, because Tom was asked about this in his postmortem interview, and he teases or is of the opinion that Eobard was lying that he killed Barry as a child. He just said it to piss Barry off.
He like locked him up or something?
Yeah, because I feel like what if Barry is dead, then and Eobard like succeeded, it's like, now what do you do? It's no fun if Barry's not there for him to torture him about it. Mm. So and he says that it'll probably like, play out in episode 5. But anyways, back to the feedback. And he says, I don't watch Legends, so I haven't had the pleasure of love hating Damien Dark, the wit, the snark. Guys, that West Allen hug when Barry finally got back gave me more happiness than West Wells not kissing in the loft. I know I harbor West Wells dreams, but the loft is West Allen holy ground. But you know what loft scene I loved? Iris and Ryan having a real talk and a real hug as real friends. Let's just pretend that Iris and Ryan FaceTime every day. Produce Joe right now, please. In a chair, behind a desk, on a screen, I don't care. I am pro-immigration, thanks, Mom, but I need to know who made Despero our planet's guardian. That swollen red goblin waited a mighty long time to confirm that the Earth's timeline had been altered. And if he was able to detect any evil in Barry, why didn't he detect the real source of all these problems, which is Eobard Thawne? Third eye needs LASIK. Explain to me why Chester and Allegra are still miscommunicating about a 10-year-old Sitch. We're dealing with One Tree Hill mess during Armageddon, guys. Killer Frost and Chilblain were useless and random. Cecile is a bad mother in every time period, dimension or universe. She couldn't bring her now 13-year-old daughter to her big sister's engagement party. No wonder Jen is psyching Cecile all the insults. All the negatives added up to time stolen from West Allen, Iris, and Candace. I should have been on Iris tracking tachyons or whatever signatures and her saying, this isn't right. That's not the Flash's signature. At this stage, you're my lightning rod has to be more than a secret password to wake up Iris to help save the day. Hardly know what to predict for part 5, but it seems to involve Gideon. I hope Barry programs some protocols to lock Thawne out, but because he is abusing the mess out of that tech. Thank you, Anita. And then we have Sonia. Sonia says, hey, ladies, this episode of The Flash is pretty good at times and then really weird at times. In case you can already tell, the West Allen stuff was pretty good. And then almost the entire rest of the episode was really weird. Like, why do I care about Chester and Allegra and Cecile and Jenna? Like, why? beginning of the feedback. Love the Wild West. Is that their friendship name? I think Wild West is cute, but it's technically West Wilder. She loved their scenes. Now Iris called Ryan sis and that she's Ryan's maid of honor when she was married Sophie. Yay for Waldmore. Kind of sad that Mary wasn't Ryan's maid of honor, but I guess they couldn't give away too much as it would be a total spoiler as to what happens to her. Even though Team Flash was fighting Barry, I really loved the fight sequences and seeing Alex and Ryan team up together and using Ryan's shrinking powers, Ryan Joyce's shrinking powers to help out in Iris with the gun and everything. Well done. LMAO at Allegra being traumatized at Frost and Chilblain hooking up the bathroom and the fact that they missed the entire fight and Iris getting kidnapped by Barry. It actually reminds me of a scene in Legends when the entire team is fighting bad guys and Sarah's making out with the Queen of France. Not gonna lie, I rolled my eyes a bit when Eobard called it a reverse flashpoint. Like, boy, we get it. You're the opposite of the Flash. Just stop. I'm surprised he calls his version of the speed force the negative speed force and not the reverse speed force. The fact that Ibar is clearly using the same timeline of the original show means that it took him 18 years to finally propose to Iris. Like, what? I won. I finally won. Who's faster now? I love this entire scene, and it reminded me of the scene in 301 where Ibar yells, now who's the villain, Flash? Now who's the villain? Yes. Which I still miss Matt, but like this petty was made for Tom. Sorry.
Very true. Very true.
She says, speaking of 301 Eobard, this is actually the first time since season one that I've actually liked Tom as Eobard. I always said that I would prefer Matt play Eobard rather than Tom because I feel like since season one, Tom has really overacted as Eobard and kept talking in this creepy, gruff, whispery voice and whatnot. But this time I actually liked his acting. Love Cisco being Argus director, not so much loving him being dead. And then they also killed off the Legends and Rey. Yikes. Someone explain why Caitlin was not at the engagement party but still works at Star Labs and is part of Team Flash. Like, are they finally figuring out that Caitlin and Iris' friendship is shitty? Thank God. Also, she was completely useless in this episode. Did she even do anything at all? No, she did not. Love when Ibar shows true colors when Cecile's talking about not being able to locate Barry and he's all, try harder. And I was like, means by that is good job still.
That was funny. I was still having to
yeah, I was just like, let me translate. It also reminds me of like when Barry's like, it's a 2% chance that I can succeed. He's like, and Damian was like, well, you better run fast. I was like, okay, villains are not really known for their pep talkiness. Let's see. As much as I hated the whole Chester Allegra plot, I laughed so hard when Alex was like, either you hooked up, you are hooking up, or you need to hook up. It was a really lusty quest. Yep, did not need to hear that sentence. Love that Dark chose to help Barry because of his daughter and also how he and Barry have daughters that have the same name. Batwing Luke reference and also a Two-Face reference too, but who is the lady in red Ryan's referring to? I caught that too. And I couldn't like decide if they were talking. Mary has red hair right now, but I feel like it can't be Mary this late, 10 years into the future.
Right, she's not in red herself.
Right. Yeah. Hmm. So, questions.
Oh, yeah, we did not discuss the lady in red.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do that in predictions.
Yeah.
Let's see. Chester doesn't drink alcohol. Is this like him being a pacifist, which came out of nowhere in part two, or has this been mentioned before? I don't know. I don't think so. Legion of Doom reference, yay for Easter eggs. She thought Ryan was weird. Why is he hating and love so much? Isn't he from the crossover with Paragons? He has a wife and a child. What happened? Barry has to run to save everyone while causing something that could potentially kill people. Does this remind anyone of Kara needing to use the sun power for herself, but at the cost of hurting the planet by technically getting rid of the sun? It does, but Barry does it anyway. And no one stops him, so I guess that's the difference. Constantine reference, Iris with the lightning in her eyes telling Barry she loves him and giving him that last bit of speed he needed to get back in time. West Allen is the best ship ever. Timeline restored and Joe is alive. Love the West Allen hug, but why don't they get to kiss? Because in the same episode Chester and Allegra did this, and this is just like when Cisco and Camilla got to kiss in the same episode Barry and Iris didn't. Like, it can't be because of COVID, because other characters are kissing, so why? And then
was the kiss that good? Because it wasn't.
No, it was not.
No, not worth it.
It was not. She says, can't wait for the next episode. And she's going to try to join us on the East Coast because we will be attempting to do a spaces for that one, which I will tell you about in a second. Yep, that is the thing that's happening. And then finally, Suarez says, hello, ladies. This was overall a good episode, even though I seriously can't make any sense of this plot. I'm sorry, but this whole Armageddon storyline is so messy and random. And even though Thrawn and his master plans are intriguing, it remains so hard to understand any logic in it, even by the Flash standards. But having said that, the best part, as always, remains West Allen and making their way back to each other, no matter what time travel or universe shenanigans try to keep them apart. Ryan with Iris was amazing. Voldemort is confirmed in game, well, at least in this universe. Even though I like Chester and Allegra and them together, I think their plotline in this episode is very misplaced. It was jarring, to be quite honest, and didn't contribute to the flow of the episode and could have been easily in another episode about their relationship. Gotta admit that I enjoyed Barry with Damian Dark, and it's clear Neil McDonough has so much fun in this role, and Barry's appealing to Damian's love for Nora and preventing her death was meaningful. On that note, it was honestly just weird that all the legends were just dead. Also, it was all legends except Constantine. So I don't know what Constantine did to get out, escape death, but yeah. Also, it was so jarring to see everyone but Cecile. Seriously, why the fixation on her? Dead right before Barry gets back and fixes everything. Is the stuff of Despero now never happened? Is Armageddon now an alternate timeline? I'm so confused. But regardless, it was wonderful to see Barry reunite with Iris. And even though I'm scared about what Thawne will try to do next episode, it was wonderful to see Barry reunite with Iris, even though I'm scared about what Thawne will try to do next episode. Even though Armageddon as a whole has been a critical mess for me, this episode was enjoyable enough for me to look forward to its final conclusion. And that is it.
Well, we support you in your feelings. aside from that, do we have predictions? Starting with Lady in Red. Who is that?
I have no idea, but I'm interested.
I was hoping you would know, just because like comics are like, who is the villain that has red? I don't know.
What I saw people saying was maybe it's a reference to Red Death, and like maybe it'll be a woman this time, but which because Red Death is Batman, but with Flash powers, right?
Oh.
So it could be Batwoman with Flash powers. But then why would, you know, Ryan be like the Lady in Red, which is me? roundabout way of doing that. Because the way that they said it, like, it felt like an offhand thing, but nowadays, right?
Because what was it called? What were they talking about? Because she's like, you know, because the last time that we did this Lady in Red, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was some kind of advice that she was giving Iris, or she's like, well, I've got this thing.
Well, yeah, I think it was, like, when she was talking about having to deal with, like, a villain, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was because she gave her a piece of technology. I don't remember what it was, that she could use a gun. Right. That's right. It's the gun that can remove the Speed Force from a speedster. And she said they use it against the Lady in Red, that the Batwoman team. So it could, in fact, be the Red Death.
Okay. Yeah.
Just that the Red Death is going to show up on Batwoman instead of Flash, maybe. So there you go. I solved it.
You solved the riddle.
But other than, like, that, I mean, the plot stuff, I really don't know where they're going to go next episode. I'm kind of, like, interested because the way they left it, it seemed like, oh, well, we tied up all the loose ends.
Yeah, but then, like, Mia still hasn't shown up.
Right. And, like, Thawne is still around, and he's got a new suit, so I don't know what's happening there. So I don't know, you know, predictionless as usual, I guess.
I was kind of bored because when Barry lost Gideon, I thought that meant that we would get to see him build Gideon and have him build it in Iris's image like he did it originally.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he's undone that timeline and Gideon's back, I guess it depends on what Eobard does. If Eobard steals this Gideon, or, you know, if he hadn't killed the legends, he could have taken that evil Gideon.
Right, and been
fine. Although she probably wouldn't like him changing all the timeline stuff, but Not sure where they go from here.
Yeah, I am also not sure where they're gonna go, but I am very
we're intrigued,
I'm intrigued, and I'm glad that I'm finally like really fully satisfied with an episode. Because like two of the previous three, I was like, well, that was fine, but I wasn't really feeling it, you know. Mm-hmm. And now this time, I'm like, yes, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I wanted. So I'm very happy with that. And I almost was like, what are they gonna do in the final episode? But then of course, Eobard, you know, I guess that's the prediction, right? Like,
Like for Iris, because obviously Barry needs to tell Iris like what happened there. And I would like for Iris to confront him and, you know, confront Eobard and like see what his reaction is. I want her to like go off on him to the level that she went off on Barry when she thought Barry killed her dad.
Right.
Like, I want to see what that looks like.
Speaking of going off on Eobard, remember we were told that Caitlin would have a scene with the reverse flash.
Yeah, and everyone was, like, worried that it was in this one with the Barry reverse flash. Like, no.
Yeah.
It makes more sense for her to finally step up and join the plot.
Yeah.
Welcome to
maybe she'll be like, thanks a lot for being responsible for my husband's death twice, or whatever. You know?
Yeah. I also wonder if Iris's time sickness is going to come back for this last episode, or they're just going to hold off and bring it back for the rest of season 8.
I don't want it to have anything to do with Eobard, though.
That would be interesting, but
okay, I guess it depends on how long he's been messing with stuff, like little stuff in the background, and if that syncs up with when her time sickness started.
Very possible. We shall find out. All right. So with that being said, shall we name a lady with gumption of the week?
We shall.
Who shall we name? Jenna, for having the balls.
For all those psychic insults to her mother.
Can we just even adult Jenna just can't appear on screen? It's amazing,
right? Can we just say like Wes Wilder as a duo?
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay,
I'll take it.
That's my vote.
Yeah. The runner up would be Alex for reinforcing the heteronormative need to get married. Just kidding. All right, but Wes Wilder for the win. I love it. And I guess we don't have anything else, right? So next week.
Spaces?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that?
Next week, we'll be back on Twitter after the finale of Armageddon. We will attempt to use our spaces to host a space where we will discuss the episode prior to our actual podcast. And then we will steal your ideas and put it in our podcast. Just kidding. However, we're going to try that just for funsies. And we'll also probably be doing an Eternals podcast. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that, check out our Patreon. Aside from that, please follow us at DCTVGumption on Twitter, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com, and send us any feedback, especially for Eternals, at ladieswgumption@gmail.com. Thank you all, and good night, good morning, good luck.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.